Good morning. I'm John McKay. I'm a professor at Seattle University Law School, and I am a former federal prosecutor in the United States. And so I'm very interested in a lot of what you had to say. And I wanted to start by asking you about the nature of the evidence that has come in to you over time. You know, I'm sure the investigators will provide statements, witness statements, their own statements of investigation. Can you talk about those and what types of evidence you have seen come in over your time here?
We've had witness statements, like you said. We've had materials given to us by other authorities in terms of investigations, their own investigations into the events in Rwanda. We have reports. We have, for instance, we'll have investigators' notes, which are not necessarily part of the evidence, but which by and large over the years have actually become disclosable even though they are covered by the rules against disclosure. But we've had a lot of decisions that mandate us to disclose certain types of investigators' notes to the defense. We have, like I said, we have reports. Then we've had seizures, things that we will seize from the accused. Artifacts, for instance, audios and videos. The video collection is mostly of witness interviews or sometimes things we seize from the accused at the time of arrest. Then we have all the tapes from Radio Rwanda, a lot of tapes from Radio Rwanda and RTLM during this, from the time of the genocide. Those are the types of information that we have.
I want to go back to what you indicated in getting evidence from other organizations. Would one of those be the Rwandan government?
Sure, yeah.
And could you tell me about the others? I'm particularly interested in NGOs and others who might be on the ground in Rwanda. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
We have information, for instance, for the initial investigations were done by the UNHCR. Right after the genocide. So we received their material. We received from UNAMIR, that is the United Nations mission in Rwanda. We received materials from UNAMIR, and then we received materials from the Belgians as part of their own investigations, and sometimes trial of some of those responsible for the genocide. And then sometimes we ask for information from any foreign authority. And they, under the terms of the rules for cooperation, we get materials from other foreign authorities as well.
And among the documents, I'm assuming that you saw many photographs.
Yes, we saw some photographs, yes.
Were there less photographs than you would have liked to have seen?
Not a lot of photographs. We have, for instance, aerial photograph of Kigali. There was a Spanish investigation that came up with, I think, exhumation report, you know, with photographs. But of the events themselves, they are mostly from the press. We have footage from different journalists concerning the period of the genocide. Those are public, for instance, yeah.
Can you, without going into too much detail about the evidentiary rules, because our people who will view this, some will be lawyers who will be interested, but many will be teachers and people many years from now who might be interested in how the prosecution handled the disclosure of evidence to the defense. Can you talk generally about that and what, you know, having been a prosecutor, I know that many times there are close calls.
Yeah.
Should this go to the defense? Should it not? Can you talk a little bit about that and how, from your standpoint, these decisions have been made?
Well, you know, we're just custodians, really. We don't make the decisions. But I know that generally we disclose materials under Rule 66, and that's usually done by the attorneys themselves. That is the materials they intend to use for the trial. That's usually packaged by the attorneys. We support that in the sense that they might come to us and say, can you do this search for us? We will do the search and give them the results. And they make the call on whether they want to use the material. in which case the case manager does the disclosure, you know, of the material. Then it might be also that the attorneys might ask us, give us some such parameters and say, look for this kind of information because we think it would be exculpatory for the defense. So we would do the research for them and they will make the decision whether to disclose or not. Coming to Rule 68, we've tried not to get involved with Rule 68 as a section because we believe it is the attorneys who do the cases, they know the facts, and they are able to speak to what is exculpatory or not.
So Rule 68 is the rule requiring the prosecution to turn over anything that might prove the innocence.
Prove the innocence of the accused. So by and large, we do not get directly involved in disclosure. We help them to prepare the material, but they have to identify the material. In other words, we don't do any searches with a view to disclosure. We have to be asked to assemble this type of evidence because it is going to be disclosed, in which case we are in a support role. We're not making the decision as to disclosure. The same thing for Rule 68. And for Rule 68, we support the appeals more than we support the prosecution division. We support the appeals more because it is easier for us to support them because you have a judgment from which to read from. You know, some facts are there, they assist you. And so with the appeals, we have a closer working relationship in terms of Rule 68. You know, assisting them to identify materials, but it's still under the supervision of the appeals because we believe that we're custodians, we can support, but we don't, it is not for us to make the judgment, but the lawyers themselves.
But I'm sure during your time here, you must have come across, even at the request of the prosecutors, material that was exculpatory, that did tend to show the innocence of the accused. And I'm sure that was turned over, but can you give me an example without naming any particular case of the kind of evidence that might be exculpatory that you can recall?
From here, from the IESS point of view, none that I can think of. Because, you see, the request for a search has to come from them. You see, so we don't systematically go and search. The debate was there, I have to say, that there was a very, very... A very, very lively debate on what the role of the section, our section, should be in terms of exculpatory material. And I remember that our standpoint was that the attorneys are the most equipped to make a decision on what is exculpatory because they know the facts of the case. Because there are nuances, you see. It may not say the accused is necessary. It may not be a clear-cut case. You need to have the temperature of the trial. See what the defense is saying to see whether this actually supports the theory of the defense to make that determination that it is exculpatory. So my point was that where we're sitting, we're not equipped to make those judgments, and it's a very important one. So so we ended up saying, yes, trial teams, they can solicit our assistance, but they have to tell us what they're looking for.